Hello and welcome to another episode of Beer Talk. As always, I'm your host, Malik Stark. And today we are talking to Jeff Musselman of Evergreen Brewing Company. He's one of the brewers. And I will be drinking one of their famous beers, Naked and Fishing. As always, we want to thank the PLCB for making this show possible. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Cheers_PA. And look out for new episodes every other Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. So without further ado, Jeff.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm all right. Yeah. Like you said, I just want to talk about like you and your experience as far as being a brewer in the beer industry in general. So I guess first question, how'd you get started in it?
So this is actually going into my 17th year brewing. And pretty much like a lot of brewers out there, I got the brewing bug, started home brewing in college and legally. And I actually was 21. But the brewing bug kind of bit me. I graduated with a chemistry degree. And at the time, I was kind of in my mid-20s and trying to figure out what the heck I wanted to do with my life. And I figured, you know what? Somebody's got to brew beer for a living, right? That's got to be a job.
Yeah.
So I looked into it and I actually went to UC Davis, University of California, Davis, and attended their Master Brewers program back in 2007 and been brewing professionally since.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I did a little bit of home brewing. I more so just hung out with all the people who knew what they were doing. And yeah. I mean, that experience has to be exactly what gets most people into it, in my opinion.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, everybody's got, this is an industry where there's been like no clear path, you know, and I'm sure you've talked to many other brewers at this point in time, but I think one of the common threads has been starting, you know, in your kitchen stove and just experimenting and having fun.
What was the first beer that you made as far as like home brewing? Do you remember?
First drinkable one or first good
one? Well, we can count the ones that weren't drinkable.
I think your first batches, you convince yourself that they're good because you put your heart and soul into it. But looking back at it, they were bad. They were just bad beer. I think the first homebrew batch I ever brewed was like a oatmeal stout or something like that. Okay. And it was not good. Plain and simple. I mean, it's gotten a lot better since then, but it was a little bit rough there at the beginning.
Fair enough. So you said oatmeal stout, was that still done like in kits? Like they would just send you everything and like it was like directions to follow? Because I remember doing it on the stove and you end up moving outside and doing it.
Yeah.
Like how did that, I just don't know as far as.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, again, everybody has a little bit different path, but I definitely started with, I think I probably did two or three batches that were extract batches. You know, you buy the kit off the shelf. We've got a great, I live in the Harrisburg area. We've got a great homebrew store called Scottson's Brothers. They have a ton of kits. And I think probably my first three or four were just extract kits off the shelf. And then I kind of like that limits your control over the final product a little bit. So I think I graduated to all grain brewing probably within like four or five batches. Yeah. Like I said, it was just kind of was a bug that bit me and kept going.
Fair enough. I assume you went from like bottling it with like priming sugar and then went into kegging it, or was it straight like you had a kegerator set up already?
Yeah, I definitely did bottles at first, and that's just the least fun part of home brewing for sure. And it requires a lot of patience. I think I got my first kegerator set up when I was after graduated from college and had a stable job and an income and could invest a little bit into kegging equipment. That made life so much easier.
Fair.
And less blowing up bottles too.
Yeah, because that always tends to happen once.
Inevitably happens.
Yeah. So you said you went to school in California, and I assume brewing didn't bring you to Pennsylvania. So what did you do before that?
So my degree is in chemistry. My first job out of college was at a pharmaceutical company, Merck, outside of Philly. And I was a research assistant in the lab mixing chemicals for about 4 years before I decided to pursue brewing as a career. It's kind of at that mid-20s, what do I do with my life kind of moment. Decided that brewing was a little bit more the side of chemistry I enjoyed versus pharmaceuticals.
Which, I mean, it would have to be a big part of it. Like, I haven't brewed in a long time, but, like, I talked to a lot of them, and, I mean, it all sounds like chemistry has to help with that, so.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing this for, like I said, this is going into my 17th year, and the thing that has kept me going for this long is that it's science, but it's also artistry. You know, it's a combination of the two. There's not many jobs out there where you get to combine art and science to create a product that people actually really enjoy. So having a science background is beneficial in a lot of ways, but it's mm-hmm. also not a requirement. Like, there's a lot of brewers, like I said, for every brewery out there, there's a different path towards being a brewer. I just happen to, I like knowing what's going on, the nuts and bolts of it. So
Evergreen isn't the first brewery that you work for, right?
No. So when I got done with UC Davis, I'm from Pennsylvania. I moved back here, started applying for jobs. I ended up over in Easton, PA at Weyerbacher. Started there in 2007. I'm from the Harrisburg area. And when Trogs was in Harrisburg, I moved back to the area about 2009. Worked for them for about four and a half years, both in Harrisburg and Hershey. And then I took a little break from beer. I actually did hard cider down at a place called Hauser Estate Winery, which is in Biglerville. I did their Jack's Hard Cider for about 2 years. And at that point in time, I met the owner of the Millworks, and I was their original brewer there for in Harrisburg for about 7 years. And then just started here at Evergreen last June, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I like the only name that like spoke out was Millworks. Like I moved here in 2017, and I knew nothing about Millworks. I mean, I have always loved craft beer, and Evergreen was the first one that I ever came to after moving to like the Harrisburg area.
Yeah,
and of course, everyone told me I had to try Juice Juicy. Like I know, like everyone loves that one, but I find myself liking more stouts. So I mean. Is there anything with the beer that it's like newer that is different than a lot of the other types of beer like that, like stouts or double IPA?
Evergreen is?
Yeah, Evergreen itself.
Yeah. So like that's part of what transitioned me over to Evergreen was we can brew whatever we want to brew. That's kind of the approach that we take. If it tastes good, we'll brew it, you know, and not that I didn't have that freedom to do that anywhere else, but this is kind of a place where, you know, the sky's the limit. We do obviously a ton of IPAs, hazy, West Coast doubles, and that's, you know, what the vast majority of people know us for. But, you know, we do brew a lot of like really good, clean, crisp lagers, good stouts. We got some really nice barrel aged stuff too. So that's, you know, it's nice to be at a brewery that isn't necessarily defined by one style. We are obviously known for Juice Juicy and our hazies, but you know, I think we do a really, really nice job on all of our other stuff as well, including our stouts that, you know, you said about.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I've had everything that you all have made, but
that would be next to impossible.
I would be impressed and, you know, worried.
Yeah. But, yes, right.
But like I said, I don't think I've had a beer from Evergreen that wasn't great.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. We've got a really good team. We've got, ownership that's really vested in it. And, you know, pretty much any decision we make here at Evergreen is, well, what makes the beer the best it possibly can. So, you know, we don't skimp on ingredients. You know, equipment, which is kind of, it gives you as a brewer a lot of freedom to do what you want. So we take that excuse out of the bag as, you know, oh, well, I couldn't afford such ingredient. You know, that's not really our approach. We have access to whatever we want, which is really nice from an ownership level.
Yeah. And I mean, and also the location of where you all are, like, when I first went there to try beer, like I was really, really like impressed by like how just on a scale that was of like you could fit so many people in there and like everybody has a, you know, and it's not crowded in the sense that like it feels, I don't know, I don't want to say like a store where like you're right. bumping into people, but like it's just so large. I've almost rarely ever seen that place not completely packed.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's the our location, you know, where we're at. I think the timing of when we opened up, you know, we've been mm-hmm. in business for, well, this is going on 8 years now. You know, I think, again, the emphasis on just making good beer has really helped us. But yeah, you're right. There's very rarely a time where the tasting room is not busy, you know, so that's kind of. If it's busy here, that obviously means we're doing a good job brewing beer because people wouldn't be coming. So
yeah,
it's nice to see people a crowded and busy day.
Awesome. Is there anything as far as some stuff that, you know, like newer things that like you want to try with like making beer, any ideas like that, that could be coming down the pipeline eventually?
Like I said, we kind of never let the things stand still, so we're always moving forward. There's always ideas out there. To name anything specifically, beer wise not that I can think of. We're always just developing new recipes and putting them out there. Really trying to institute, we've got a bunch of different sized tanks, but two of our tanks are actually like a little too small for any sort of production. So I'm really trying to steer those two tanks towards just the brewer's beers, the beers that mm-hmm. we want to brew as brewers. You know, it could be IPA, it could be a stout, could be whatever we want to do. So I'm trying to give the other brewers who maybe don't have the experience or maybe have ideas that have, you know, it's maybe a little, you know, trial and error. You know, before you jump into a big batch. So I'm really trying to get the other brewers a little bit more involved in that. I think it's fun to take a beer from your brain, you know, put it on paper as a recipe, brew it through the system, and then finally taste it out the other end. I think that's really, it's very satisfying. So that's something I'm really trying to move forward as well, which is fun. We do have... I don't know what the timeline is exactly, but we do have our, I'm not sure if you're aware, but we bought a building out on Linglestown Road in Linglestown. So that is going to be a new spot for us as well. I would think 2024 is probably not doable at this point in time. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, but, you know, that's definitely something that's coming down the pipeline as well. So kind of exciting times.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And now is that going to be where... Is it going to be set up like the one over in Camp Hill, or is that going to be just mainly a tap room, or will you make beer there as well?
Yes. So the building over there is humongous. it actually was indoor soccer field. So we got mm-hmm. plenty of space. That's, I would say, our biggest hurdle here where we're currently at is production space. Yeah. So most of the production is going to be moving over to Linglestown. Most of the brewing equipment is, we are going to have obviously a tasting room over there as well. But to the best of my knowledge, we're going to obviously keep the Camp Hill location and, move most of the production over to Linglestown. Then it's a little bit better suited for a little bit higher volume. We could brew more beer, but you have to get a little bit creative about it. So we're kind of bursting at the seams a little bit here in Campville. So.
Yeah. I mean, was that initially like the plan with how things are over at the Campville location? Because I'll come there and sit at the bar, and I can, if I'm early enough, I can see people working behind the bar, which I think is a cool thing.
So. Yeah. I mean, I think that's, you know, getting to your point about like, always being busy. I think that is something that, you know, we're not necessarily unique in how we do that. You know, you go to Trogues and their brewing equipment's right there too. But I think that is something that's very engaging to the customers, is to have, mm-hmm. you know, there's some days I don't necessarily want the customers looking at me while I'm brewing, but I think that there is definitely a level of engagement. You know, you'll get the, hey, what are you doing up there? It smells great in here. What you brewing? And so there is like a customer engagement level that can happen in that. You know, if you were behind a wall or glass, you know, that just doesn't happen. So I think that that aspect will continue over to Lingolstown as well. Maybe not quite as open. I don't know. I haven't seen all the blueprints yet. But it is kind of fun to be just like right there in the midst of everything. You get to see and smell and hear everything we're doing, for better or for worse.
Yeah, and I mean, that Lingolstown area, that's an awesome location. I mean, it's kind of busy already, but like putting a brewery right there is, I mean, that's going to do so much for like the walkable community that's right there now.
Yeah, I think, you know, just the greater Harrisburg area, you know, everywhere from Harrisburg to Hershey, you know, along Lingolstown Road is growing. But, I think we're going to be close enough to Harrisburg to get the Harrisburg people. We'll be close enough to Hershey to get the Hershey people. So I think from a location standpoint, it's going to be really good for us.
And I don't expect you to know like an exact answer, but how many locations are you all in as far as like where you could buy a 4-pack or a mix? Because I have not been into a giant that I haven't seen Evergreen in.
Yeah, so we operate our sales in three different ways. Okay. So we have our tasting room. We have our sister location, Wild Rabbit, which is in New Cumberland. So you can obviously get to go beer at those. And then our local distribution, which is the greater central PA area, we actually do all that distribution ourselves. So we have our own vans, our own delivery team, you know, so they're delivering to Giant, to Wegmans, to Glenn Miller's. And then we also have our wholesale side, which that pretty much covers everything in the state of Pennsylvania outside of central PA. So Pittsburgh, it's a pretty good location for us, Philly. And then we're in pretty much at this point in time, our wholesale sales covers all of Pennsylvania. It's obviously a little bit spotty based on geography. We are in Maryland, Delaware, New York, mostly New York City. And I think that's it for now. So yeah, it's the volume that we're at, you know, it's very kind of a little bit niche market. So we can't like fully just distribute to all of those locations. So we take care of our local market first, and then the wholesale locations, that's kind of our secondary avenue to get rid of some beer.
I mean, just the sheer amount of like places you all are. I mean, you have to be brewing most of the week.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's, so the way our brewing system's set up, we do, no, if we're doing a single brew, that's a slow day for us. So we're doing anywhere from, you know, mostly 2 to 3 brew days. We're kegging and canning pretty much every day, transferring beer every day. So yeah, we I think we did roughly 7,500 barrels last year in 2023. Oh, wow. And I mean, we might be able to do a little bit more, this coming year with getting a little bit creative with our production schedule. But like I said, we're sort of at an impasse because of space. So hopefully whenever Lingolstown opens up, we can get some bigger tanks and we could brew a significant amount of more beer.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would assume that we'll have to come with like more people involved, like more people to help with that.
Yeah. Right now we've got a production team of 6 guys, and you know, they do a really good job, but you know, there comes a point as you grow, you obviously need to add people. You know, we're responsible for everything from brewing the beer to packaging the beer to, you know, putting beer into the warehouse and shipping beer. So, you know, as you continue to grow as a company, I think you develop, you know, a little bit more specific jobs. So those are things that from a production level would be very nice if I didn't have to load orders on the back of a truck and focus on brewing and that kind of stuff. But it makes for a dynamic day, that's for sure.
What's your favorite beer right now? I mean, it can be Evergreen. I mean, Evergreen beer that you make. I assume that your favorite beer is going to be one that you make.
Well, not necessarily. Okay. I mean, I love our beer. I really do. I'm getting to the point where I'm kind of old and don't like thinking about beer so much. I mean, I love beer. It's my job. But there's sometimes where you just don't want to necessarily think about beer when you're having a beer. You know, I think all of our beer is super solid. I'm a sucker for just a great lager, be it a Pilsner or a Helles or something like that. Maybe I'm a little biased, but I think like Trogue Sunshine Pilsner's an amazing Pilsner. Beer that is out west that doesn't really come east. I don't know what their distribution is, but it's called Trumer Pils. Oh man, if you get a good one, that's an amazing European style Pilsner.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. I've got a soft spot in my heart for just a good German Pilsner or a Czech Pilsner.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good answer. I mean, whenever I drink beer, I don't have the palate experience to know what I'm drinking. Does that usually help or steer? Like whenever you're drinking a beer,
can you tell? You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword because sometimes you want to just drink a beer and enjoy it without evaluating it. But mm-hmm. sometimes the more you know, the more you sit there and evaluate it, and then you just can't drink for enjoyment. And so you're just constantly, you know, if it's like one of our own beers, you sit there and you drink it and you're like, ooh, I think it's, you know, maybe it's not quite carbonated enough. Maybe it's I would like to try this hop, or maybe the body's not quite right. So, you know, it's kind of this double-edged sword where, especially when it comes to your own beers, that you're just constantly evaluating it. And that, I mean, I guess that's part of the joy of being a brewer too, is to be able to do that and, you know, have a knowledgeable palate that you can kind of make those changes. But sometimes it does make it difficult to just enjoy a beer without thinking about it.
Yeah, I find myself doing that a lot with, I'm one of the managers at Zero Day,
over in Harrisburg, nice, yeah.
Like one of the taproom managers. So if I go to a place, I make it a point to just try to enjoy a beer.
Yeah, right. I know.
And Zero Day's I feel like we're known for the mango hop. So if I see someone having a beer that has that spicy flavor in it, I'm like, oh, this is what they do different. You know, it is automatically, but yeah.
Yeah, it is. When you're in the industry, it's funny. So obviously we drink beer and we enjoy it. And I mean, if we didn't, it would be a rough job to have.
Yeah.
But it is kind of, sometimes it's hard to take yourself out of your job and just sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about all the beers that I've tried and how many times I've had them and compared it to something that I had know more about.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's something else too. It's you're not necessarily evaluating the beer in front of you, you might be comparing it to something that is similar, you mm-hmm. know, trying to evaluate, hey, was that brewer trying to make this, you know, clone of, you know, whatever, yeah. you know, it's, so it's, it is, the more you know, you do sort of just sit there and think about it, you know, it's, I don't know. It's fun. It's a great job. It's a great industry to be in. What else to say about that? It's just very enjoyable.
I assume that, you know, with you going to college out in California, is there any breweries that you've been to, as far as traveling that you've gone, it felt I won't say home, but it gave that evergreen feel that you all have.
Our approach here at Evergreen is a little different, I would say. We really only have one year-round beer and everything else is just kind of, hey, whatever we want to do. So yeah, to compare what we're doing to what other breweries are doing, you know, it's very different. Every brewery has a different mindset, you know, do we want to make one beer and just be known for it? You know, I mentioned Trumer Pils, and I could be wrong at this. Maybe they make something different for their local market, but they make one beer, to the best of my knowledge, one beer, and they do it amazingly. And then you go to a place like us, which, you know, we have no less than 20 beers on tap and, you know, probably 20 out in distribution. So there's not necessarily any wrong way of doing it. Every brewery has different approaches, different beer styles they want to make. different customer bases, different business models. And that's kind of the cool thing about this industry is there's not necessarily any wrong way of doing it. As long as you're making good beer, you know, there's something for everybody out there. That's really cool.
Well, I don't think I'll take up any more of your time. Thank you for sitting down and talking.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having me. Next time I'm in Zeradale, come in and say hi.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you all have a Dark Necessity still right now, I'll probably be by, not today, but soon.
I don't think that's on right now. We do have a barrel-aged barley wine called Evil Mistress. You might want to give that one a try.
I'll for sure come try that one.
Evil. Yeah, that one's pretty nice, too. So.
Thanks for talking again. Look out for new episodes every other Thursday of Beer Talk. And don't forget to follow us on socials, cheers_PA, and check out cheerspa.com as well. Cheers.
Cheers.